You are listening to a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. Any opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants and do not reflect the views of WRCT Radio Incorporated. Questions and comments can be addressed to the Public Affairs Director at pa@wrct.org or by calling 412-621-0728.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening in to the WRCT Buggy Race Day Preview Show. My name is Will Weiner. I'm going to be one of the broadcasters bringing you this weekend's buggy action, and I'm joined here by some members of Sweepstakes, a driver. This is unscripted. This is completely new. We're trying this out. Hopefully get some exciting stuff going. So, guys, if you'd like to introduce yourself, that'll be great. We're going to be just talking tonight about race day, the way the year's gone, way teams are looking, what to expect, what to see. So go ahead and let's do some introductions.
Okay, I'm Josh Hickson. I am the Sweepstakes chairman. If you don't know, Sweepstakes is the three-person committee that runs the sport of buggy and puts on all the practices and in the race day and does all the things except for push and build things. So that's what we do. Jake.
I'm Jake Reed. I'm the safety chairman. Before this, I was AEPI buggy for a couple years and CIA even before that.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Shin. I'm a driver for AEPI. Yep.
Cool. Awesome. So let's go ahead and talk about the landscape of this year. What's it been looking like? Obviously, weather playing a big factor. But what do you guys have you seen that's special or different about this year leading into race day?
We have a very interesting perspective on everything because we see how the teams function at practices, and that's really telling of where they are organizationally. And we've seen some surprising things, some higher teams not being the best organized and some teams that seem to be mid-pack, really picking up speed and getting better organized, getting more people out. It's a real shift of power, I think, this year.
Yeah, in particular, I've been very impressed with SAE's jump this year. They showed up with a brand new buggy when they hadn't done that since 99. That looks really good. It's as light as anything out there and hadn't seen that from them at all.
From my perspective as a driver, it kind of sucked because of the weather, and we started so late. I mean, I think I got, like, 2 weekends in, and you need, like, 5 at least for this semester. So,
yeah, is that something you guys think is going to play out in terms of the less experienced drivers on the course? Because how much time were teams really getting this year relative to past years?
Well, they got a lot of time in the fall. Like, we didn't have very terrible weather issues in the fall. We only had 6 teams come out at first, so they were getting 5 to 6 rolls a weekend. So they were really packing up the rolls. I think some people had 50 rolls by the end of the fall. But those same people only had 20-something rolls by the end of the spring. You know, we only rolled 4 weekends. And a couple of those were kind of squeezed with incidents, so we didn't get too many rolls in. But I feel like what you're going to see is that the new buggies specifically might not be going as fast as they would be otherwise because there was not enough time to really develop those. But all the drivers, they're not going to have an issue with not getting enough practice because they got a lot in the fall, and most of them are returning experienced drivers, and so 20-something they got in the spring was pretty good. What do you think, Jen?
I mean, it was fine for me, I guess, because, you know, I don't really like waking up so early in the morning. So it was nice for me to just get the minimum. Yeah. But I guess after the winter time, the roads, I guess, had so much more cracks. That was the hardest part because the back hills are just full of cracks and you kind of have to figure out which is the best little path to take.
Right. Go ahead, Jake.
Like Josh said, like, we did get plenty of rolls in the fall, but we did have a few drivers only show up in the spring or that got juggled around between buggies in the spring. So I do think there are a few buggy driver combinations that might be a little bit short on experience this race day.
Did every combo who wanted, though, were they all able to qualify? Are there going to be any people we're missing?
No, that was a really surprising thing. Regardless of the lack of rolls, we're still able to fully qualify every single buggy and not have to grant any exemptions for somebody being short on rolls. So that was – I don't remember ever doing that in my experience with buggy, so –
hasn't happened since my freshman year.
It's good to hear. I know a couple weeks out, there was a lot of concern going in there about just how the weather would end up hurting or hampering things. But that's good. Everybody's going to be rolling. In terms of the surface that they're rolling on, I guess, Jen, if you want to go in a little more detail on that, you said it's been bumpy, potholes. What's that look like? Has it been repaired? Will it be repaired any? Or what are drivers looking at? And really, how many weeks have they had since, I guess, the rain days or the cloudy days of February?
Yeah. The first roll, when I was back, we went through our course walk. And I thought, you know, it's just going to be the same old. Nothing has changed since I did this last year. Then I get there. I'm like, huh, okay. It's kind of bad. Or it's not too bad. And then I do my first roll. And then I just feel the whole time. And I'm just like, okay. But I don't think anything has been repaired. I'm not sure if Josh or Jay could give more information on that. But from the driver's perspective, I guess if you push really hard, it doesn't feel as bad. So I just tell my pushers to push me.
The roads are not getting repaired before race day. We certainly couldn't patch things up between truck weekend and race day. The city of Pittsburgh really should do a better job with these roads.
I mean, we try what we can. We submit things to the city every year, requests for them to fill potholes on Tech and Frew Street. But just, and you know, with the winters that we have and all the other roads that get damaged, these are such low-priority roads for the city of Pittsburgh because they're seen as mostly CMU roads, not really city of Pittsburgh roads, even though they are city roads. So they're so low on the totem pole of what needs to be filled in that it's always last. And we've been trying, especially the past 4 or 5 years, to really push them to fill them in, but
two of the most important roads in Pittsburgh, at least in all of our hearts, us buggy fans. Let's talk about some of the new buggies. Talk about who the new teams are that are rolling them out. What have you seen? What's impressed you? What have been trends in terms of technology or ways people are shifting in terms of the newest buggies this year?
So how many new buggies do we have? Five? Six?
We have – oh, that's a – well, one of them's a retrofit. So
that's true.
So I think it's like five new and one retrofit. That sound right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
The buggy that I've been most impressed with new on the course this year is the new Pika buggy, tentatively termed Race Day 2013. Last year they showed a shift going from their standard reverse trike with two wheels in the front to a delta trike with one wheel in the front. And actually they made that transition perfectly, made a very fast buggy that just didn't quite have a great streamlined shape. This year they showed up with a really tiny, really streamlined buggy with that same one wheel in the front design, and I'm very impressed.
Yeah, when that buggy rolled out, I was blown away. I hadn't seen detailed craftsmanship like that in a while. It was just so, everything was just so flush. I was a little blown away because, you know, they weren't really out in full force last year, and I was a little worried about that going in this year. But they came out and they nailed it, and I was really impressed with how they were able to build themselves back up after, you know, a little bit of hiatus last fall.
With some of the other new buggies, as I said before, the new SAE buggy is very impressive. The new Siget buggy ran into some problems where drivers weren't having good visibility. They ended up switching out drivers due to that and then didn't end up getting enough rolls to qualify. So excited to see that in full force next year. We have a new fringe buggy that is just kind of getting up to speed. They had been having some difficulties with that, but I've been promised that it will be very fast on race day.
They're definitely much further behind in their build process than they have been in previous years as a former Fringe member, that's for sure.
And then there's the new SDC buggy, which is exactly the same as every old new SDC buggy.
Except it's yellow.
They have their model. Okay, is that we have the confirmed color
there, on there it. There was another yellow SDC buggy, but they replaced that with this yellow SDC buggy, so it looks like the rest of the SDC buggies. So it all matches. Give me a nice rainbow design comp.
Yep.
Especially if they bring Strife back out.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of the, I'm interested to know about the fringe and kind of the status of that. So is that something that can prove to be a wild card? Do you know what team of theirs that'll be pushing with, the B or?
So their new buggy named Beacon. Beacon's going to be rolling their B team. They were able to start to get some speed out of it on Truck Weekend. I think they built some confidence with it. As far as the teams go, the pushers, there's only one returning Fringe A men's A member, so it's going to be interesting. I know the guys on the team, and they're all really strong, fast guys, and it's a couple of the guys are people who should have been on A last year, but didn't get the chance. So I don't think that, you know, you can just count them out so quickly. But are they going to be, you know, fighting for a record this year? Definitely. I don't see that happening. I don't really see anybody fighting for a record this year.
Yeah, that 2:03, 8, something like that.
Yeah.
that mark. That was pretty remarkable. That was also a year with some great weather.
Yes.
This year, what are our thoughts on that? I know forecast is maybe rainy. Don't want to jinx anything, but what are we looking at for the weekend? How does that affect things?
Well, you know, being Pittsburgh, we're just going to wait till tomorrow to make anything too definite. But Saturday looks good. Saturday looks really good. So
that's all I want. I've been doing this for 4 years. I was spoiled as a freshman. I got a day two. I just want to call it day two because that's where the drama is.
I mean, it might be a Saturday day one, but at least it's a Saturday.
At least there's some amount of finality in
that. We can get some excitement going into award ceremony instead of waking up and groggily walking up to award ceremony hours later, which would be nice.
Yep.
Cool. Let's start talking about some of the teams this year, breaking it down, I guess, by tiers or new entrants. The top dogs, I mean, of course, you always have your SDC, you have your fringe. That's been the battle of the past few years. Do you see some of the other fraternity teams stepping up to there? I know every year on the broadcast we're saying, is this SIGEP's year? Is this SIGEP's year? You're talking about Pike rolling a lot better this year. How do you see those top playing out? How have they been rolling? And what's that interplay kind of going to look like?
I see SIGEP as the top fraternity this year, personally. I haven't actually seen the data, but I've been told that Barracuda, their 18 buggy, had the fastest free roll of all of Truck Weekend, which is not what I expect out of them. They always have crazy push teams. You put those two together, there's no way that can't be competitive.
Yeah, I definitely think the Fringe SDC 1-2-2-1, however you want to order it, battle. I think we're going to definitely see Pika and SIGEP squeeze into that and make it more of a four-way battle than just that two up top and two underneath, about a couple of seconds behind. I think we're really going to see that whole foursome even out a bit.
We tend not to talk about them, but Spirit has dealt with all of their spin and crash issues.
I was going to say, they've been a lot smoother this year, haven't they?
And yep.
Yeah. And so and the work on Kingpin, that's looking real fast.
Yeah, so if they've dealt with their technological issues, if we know they can clear the chute, they always put together a great push team. So I wouldn't count them out of two spots of day two.
Interesting stuff. Then kind of the next tier, I guess we can kind of break down some of the more, let's see, where do you think SAE jumps? I think, for instance, this year they've been rolling a lot better. I know they aren't necessarily a team that's placing, but in the past few years particularly well, but how do you think they place now with that new buggy?
So the new buggy looks tremendous. What I'm not sure about is their pushers. I haven't really been looking carefully at them at rolls, and historically they've had sort of middling push teams. So we'll see what they've got this year.
I think one of the surprising frats might actually be Signu. I think I've heard that they've assembled quite a push team this year, to you know, much of the surprise of people who have watched Signu in the past. And I hear that their driver has nailed that line quite solidly.
And with Signu, you have the best wheels on the course, thanks to their crazy alumni that continue to obsess over this stuff. So if they've got a good push team and they've got a good line on that buggy, they should be very competitive as well.
Yeah, I definitely think day two heats are not as set in stone as people like to think they are. I think this is going to be a very it might not be as surprising up 1-2-3, but I think definitely that 4-10, who's in there, is going to surprise a lot of people in what order.
And of course, CIA has been fighting into the bottom of those day two spots for a couple of years now. Ascension is rolling fast. They're on their third year with that buggy. They know exactly what they're doing, and they've been building momentum with their push team.
Yeah, they got it to day two last year. I definitely think that they have a strong chance of making it again this year.
AEPI, I know we've talked about them. You push for them. How are they looking out there?
I guess I don't expect to go to day two, really. Not to be mean. it's just that it's a larger buggy, and with that, you know, you lose speed and stuff. I think it's a little difficult with the fraternities because with the push team, the pushers can only come from the fraternity. You can't really, you know, get other people. And I guess we're just struggling with getting those pushers out every weekend, getting those consistent pushers.
We have been seeing some improvements with AEPI's tech the last couple of years, though. Mm. I was involved in installing some better wheels last year, and they've been continuing with that effort this year. I've seen some heating going on there, so they're definitely going to improve their free roll by a couple seconds. If they can push well, they were only a few seconds out of day two last year.
Yeah, I mean, with the heating of the wheels, it was a really great addition, because I know that I think we cut like 8 seconds down, which is a lot, during the free roll. That was really awesome.
Cool stuff. Apex, what's exactly going on with all of that?
Apex, so the buggy that they were building last year that they wanted to get out for last year's race, but weren't able to, they finished it up and had it out at the end of the fall this year. And they were able to get a few rolls in the fall and like 20-something rolls in on the spring. And, you know, they're doing their thing going around the course. I haven't really been able to see their pushers too much. I'm not really sure where they are on that. But, I mean, the buggy goes around. The buggy rolls really well. And, you know, we'll see where they end up.
Yeah, and unlike last year, they're not rolling on Zooters anymore. They've got a rainbow of wheel colors that are rumored to have not been seen since KDR.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, getting better compound on the buggy is definitely going to help them.
Yeah, but you got to think about all the teams that have come to the sport and burned out after 1 year. It's really great to see that a team can actually stick around
right,
and build on what they did last year.
So that first buggy is so crucial to really be able to get over that hill. Make your own. I think it goes also to what you're speaking about with sort of the transition in power from fraternities to a little bit more of the independent orgs in terms of the pool they can, the pool that they can grow from, the assistance others will give them. And those sort of resources, I think, are something that allows an Apex to really live on. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, a few years back, there were a lot of sort of drops in the pond that would go away. There's a new ROTC team this year?
Yes, ROTC. Naval ROTC was able to get a hold of an old Saget buggy and put that back together. And, I mean, of course they look great. Those guys are some very strong men, very strong physically able men. So, you know, the buggy is old and not slow. So they're... But I think if they're anywhere near the buggy in front of them on the back hills, you're going to see some cool backhill action, them pushing that thing really hard.
Yeah, they got out a little bit late. They actually only ended up qualifying for race day on their very last roll of the semester. So,
which was like very last minute of the very last day.
That's
right down to the wire.
Yeah.
And so they're still picking up speed. They're not going to have a free roll that sets the world on fire. But we've really been excited to have them out. They've been great to be out there. I love the discipline that I get with those guys. Most teams' barricaders, if I talk to them, they barely lift their head up off of the floor. But with Rotzi, they repeat the orders back at me, and I know that they know what they're doing.
And what's cool with them is I was able to talk to their chairman, and we're trying to set up for the national anthem that happens at the beginning of the race, them to actually do a full color guard. And so get some real America stuff out there.
America.
Yeah, America.
It's cool, though, to see the community growing. Yeah. Obviously, it's one of those things that's ebbed and flowed over the past few years, and growth's important to keep it going because it's a cool sport. Let's talk a little bit on the women's side right here. Are you thinking pretty much the same thing, Fringe, SDC, top two squads battling it out right there?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really seen too much different on the women's front. It's all, you know, at some level, I feel like the women's heats are more buggy dependent because if you can get much more disparaging free roll times in the women's heats than the men's heats for sure. So, you know, you're always going to be looking at those top teams with the fastest buggies to have the fastest women's heats.
Yeah, I think in particular the weight of the buggy is important with the women's heats. The back hills and the front hills take a little bit longer, so any seconds you can shave off by losing a couple pounds are key. If you look at the last couple of years, SDC has kind of scarily dominated women's.
Mm-hmm.
They're averaging a first, a third, and a fifth place
over
the past 3 years. So they are doing quite well on the women's races.
It would be great to see some more competition on the women's side, for sure.
Do you think Fringe is closing the gap in terms of the finish? I know you talked about a more a closer men's finish in the top in terms of all within a couple seconds, and we had what was setting up to be an excellent day two last year where on the top of the men's. Is that something you think Fringe is growing towards on the women's side, or is it going to be a couple years
for that? I think you have to look back 2 years ago to 2011 when SDC just beat out Fringe by, what, like a tenth of a second. It was that race was down to the wire, and I agree. I think last year's Women's Heat could have been potentially the one where they take down SDC. And, I mean, I might be a little biased since that was my team, and I was in charge of that heat. But I was really confident in our women's team last year and the buggy that we had last year. And if we hadn't crashed, I think we would have surprised people. But this year, you know, I think most of the pushers are returning, so I think we're still going to see a very strong women's A heat out of Fringe. And, you know, SDC lost their Queen of the Hill.
That's true.
Four years in a row, their Hill 1 dominated Queen of the Hill, and she has graduated. So it's
that Crystal Ray, I
Crystal
think.
Crystal Ray,
she
was,
yeah.
She was 4 seconds faster than me up Hill 1.
And Jake is not slow up Hill 1. He He's not 18, but he's a quick guy up Hill 1, that's for sure.
See the hair blowing in the wind. Yeah.
Very dramatic.
So we talked about some of our predictions. Everybody's favorite predictor, of course, is the CompuBookie. What do you guys think of that stuff? We can talk through the way they have an interesting stuff shaking out for men's. I don't know if you guys checked it out, but SDCA they have in first, so not particularly surprising. Then SIGAP, then Pike, and then Fringe in fourth, which is a little surprising to me. But I guess if you guys want to talk about that this year, not even in the tartan, but on CMU Buggy, everybody always has thoughts about it. I thought I'd pick yours this time.
So I don't have a huge amount of respect for CompuBookie in general, but actually that top four sounds a lot like how I would place it. But the last couple of years in particular, we've definitely noticed a drop-off in the quality of CompuBookie. I'm not sure that whoever the anonymous source of it is has even been at Rolls very much. So I don't know how trusted a source that is.
They seem to, you know, just be reading whatever people are posting online and trying to make something funny out of it. It's, I mean, it's a little insulting to the – it's really insulting to the teams, some of the things that they say. I know there were some complaints this year about some racial comments. And
there's always a homophobic slur every year that they throw in.
Something about race or religion or gender. They always find – you know, they always just want to be edgier or try to push the boundaries of what could be said. Oh, I'm anonymous. I get to say all these things. But it's – really, it's just – it's getting old. And it's if it was funny and enlightening – and if they actually had some insight to what was going on the course at any given time, maybe it'd be worth it. But if you're just going to look at how many roles people got and who you think is pushing for whom, I mean, they don't see the rosters. They don't know who's pushing what and what buggy's rolling what. So, you know, I take everything they say with a grain of salt.
Any comments, Jen?
Not really. I never looked at it. Never heard of it.
Oh, okay. It's no worries. It's always interesting. They kind of play up some or try to play up storylines in there. But what do you guys see as this year's biggest storylines or interesting threads, things to look out for on race day?
You know what? This has been like I've been asked that a couple times by CMU TV when they were trying to develop some race day content. They're like, you know, what stories can you tell? And I'm just like, I don't know that the teams are all rolling efficiently and the buggies are going around the course and no one's fighting with each other. Like, it's not a great story, but it just seemed like, at least from our end, a much more harmonious year and smooth and rolling. And, you know, I didn't.
Yeah, I don't think we had one complaint about a team that was getting trouble from another team, unlike big incident we had last year. Yeah. We had nothing like that.
Oh, nothing on that level. I mean, there's always people are stressed and get frustrated at practice sessions, and you know there's always that battle like, oh no, I need to put my buggy here. No, I need to put my buggy here. Get your buggy out of the way. And like, it gets a little stressful at times, but no, it's not. No one's been out for each other at all.
We actually have a couple people now, or three more, or in a moment joining us in the studio. At least two for now. If you guys want to introduce yourselves here on the race day preview show here on WRCT.
Hi, I'm Anthony Pichella. I'm the head judge this year.
Ben Cohen. I was SIGAP's chairman last year.
Cool. So some different perspectives from and past chairman as well of sweepstakes. Right now we're talking about storylines for this year, things you guys think are going to be interesting to watch for on race day. We've talked a little bit about how we think the results will actually fall out, but we can go back to that if you want. But if you have any input on that.
I don't know. I'm really excited to see what happens to Spirit this year. I think they've been rolling really well, and their new buggy looks great. Their pushing looks great. Their team organization looks great. I think they've had a dry spell the last couple of years, but I think they've come back from that, and they're going to look really good this year. I think they're the underdog, actually. Looking at how people treat them and look at them the like, past couple of years and who's around, they'll say, like, oh, Spirit, like they were good. Honestly, Spirit's always been good. Never put them down. I'm really excited to see. Also, SIGAP's been rolling really, really fast. I'm really curious to see how they, you know, pun intended, roll out. So,
I echo what Anthony said about Spirit. I think I've been hearing good things about them, and interesting to see how they can do this year. Also, for me, Pika, they've had a couple rough years just with like other issues outside of buggy, and it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of bounce back, and especially doing a forward trike this year, something that's completely new for them. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
When you guys say you think Spirit will do really well this year, how do you quantify that? Is that within 3 to 5 range. How high for them is really well? Do they have a shot to win it if everything goes right? Obviously, they always have excellent pushers. But what do you mean by when you say really well?
Well, I mean, when you look at anything that's quantitative, so we look at every race day as you come into it, you're compared to everybody else. Mm-hmm. So if 3 teams have horrible runs and 1 team does really, really well, they did well compared to the rest of the field. Mm-hmm. Everyone has been very competitive the last couple of years, and it's the normal, I'll say, few teams. Now, with that, if everyone has a really, really good year, that's how we quantify, like, who has a good year,
right.
Who comes out on top. Sometimes it's the same team. Sometimes a lot of teams surprise you. A lot of things change from year to year. I remember last year, I thought Spirit had a really, really good shot. Something, a fluke happened, and they got DQ'd. It happens. So, you can't look at past years because something might happen. So quantifying how a team does really, really well, I look at it as you do well based on how much work you've put in this year. And when a team puts in a lot of work and the pushers, the mechanics, the drivers, the chairman and head mechanic, and how the team functions as a whole, and how they accomplish everything and how well they roll, like they might be 4th, 5th, 3rd place. Like, you don't really know. It depends on your field.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more or less how you compare yourself from last year and how you do this year. And I think compared from the past 3 years, Spirit will have one of their best years.
I guess talking about the rest of the field as well, earlier we were mentioning we don't expect any records to be shattered this year, but what times do you expect kind of that top tier, the fringe, SDC, perhaps SIGEP moving up into there? Are we going to see rolling? Is it in the 2.6 range, something like that? Or where are we looking for the top times this year?
I think 2.6 is a good – I mean, top time last year was 2.058, and the course is degraded a bit. I can imagine a few tents being knocked off just from sheer carnage in the shooting in terms of the cracks and stuff that they're going to lose. They're going to lose time, and they're going to lose speed. So I think 2.06 is where you're looking at for those top teams.
I was looking at 3.15. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah, because they're going to come to a dead stop, fall into a pothole and die.
It happens. Have you ever seen a buggy stop in the chute? It's happened a few times. They might have bags on them. I don't know. You could see it,
yeah.
Or it could be Zephyrus, Pandora maybe. Pandora just might run through a car and then just come through the other end.
Might do a barrel roll, half out the free roll.
I'm pretty sure Pandora was an extra in one of Michael Bay's films. So we'll see what happens.
I feel bad for anybody who doesn't know what buggy names are.
Inside, I mean, people, if you're listening to the race day buggy preview show, I hope you know what the buggy names are, because this isn't Buggy 101. I apologize. Go to cmubuggy.org. You can find that out.
Speaking of hearing, you probably hear Pandora coming down the hill.
Let's see. Outside of storylines, big stuff. I guess you guys coming back as alumni, obviously a big part, Ben at least, coming back as alumni. Are you an alumni,
yeah.
Anthony? Okay, I'm bad at these sorts of
things.
You're
an alumni after one semester.
That's a fair point. Loyal Scott, everybody. But
I donate, yeah.
All right, university. But what sort of things do you look into, or how do you keep in touch with the sport? And when you're coming back, what do you expect to see on race day? What are the most important, exciting things for you?
I don't know. I'm kind of biased, but just seeing like my team roll is the biggest rush for me. Obviously, like, you know, cmubuggy.org is a fantastic resource for keeping in touch. Just because, you know, I can talk to people from my team, but it's kind of like a limited viewpoint of how things are going, and it's nice to get kind of a more expansive view of how things are going, like kind of more of a macro sense. But
yeah, when you look at, you know, your channel of information, it either comes from the team that you were a part of back in the day, or CMU Buggy is a great resource. But then again, it's coming from somebody else. When you look at things as a whole, it's hard to envision what's really going on. So CMU Buggy might report one thing about sweepstakes or one thing about a certain team, and they may not realize that that team had a reason for that, or sweepstakes did this for a certain reason. And it's hard looking back on it. And as a sweepstakes alumni, I look at sweepstakes as a whole. You know, you're looking at 13 organizations this year?
11.
11 organizations this year. You know, you're dealing with all sorts of personalities and so many things change on you, dealing with the city. Like, for instance, this year they changed the parking permits. I'm sure everyone noticed that. And, like, that's one thing that changes. But no one really, like, thinks about, like, little intricacies that like that, but it'll affect sweepstakes. So when you look at it, I think of it as a whole. But most people will think of it as, like, what happened to my team? Why aren't they rolling this faster? Why isn't that buggy rolling? Like, what happened? So little things get missed. But it's exciting to come back and you see everything come together on race day. And it makes you so happy to see, like, everyone, you know, the thousands of people that come back to watch this. And you just get so excited and caught up in the moment.
I guess, Josh, if you want to comment, have there been any of those little things this year or challenges that have, yeah, I guess some things that maybe made it a more interesting year or affected the way things flowed? Will that play out at all on race day?
I just want to publicly apologize for all of the no parking signs that were strewn across Tech and Fruit Street and the rest of the buggy course that just seemed to change sporadically. The issue was that was they removed every single parking meter from most, like, from Pittsburgh, basically. I can't find parking meters anymore. And so we would put all the no parking bags on the parking meters. So we'd have 200 yellow bags that said no parking all the way around the course. And when they removed those, we asked them, so what do we do now? And they were just like, that is a terrific question. We'll get back to you on that.
Well, who is they, Josh?
Parking Authority. This was Pittsburgh Parking Authority. And so we know we have to close down the roads with the police. So we went to the police station. I went to the police station. I'm like, all right, I need to pick up no parking signs. What am I supposed to do with these? And the lady at the police station was just like, yeah, just slap them on the meters, whatever. That's where they go to pay for parking. Put them there. They'll see them. You'll be good to go. And I'm like, cool. And so that's what we've been doing basically all year, and it's been a hassle, and they get torn down, and the rain washes them away overnight and stuff like that. And I finally did hear back from Pittsburgh Parking Authority about, when was it, like last week, 2 weeks ago? And they told me I am no longer allowed to put those paper signs on the meters 2 weeks before race day. And so we scrambled and tried to put them everywhere else we could. And, we didn't tow that many more cars than usual, but I definitely can understand that there was some animosity towards us, not feeling like we weren't informing the public enough, but we tried to do what we could in line with what we were allowed to do, and it was tough for sure. Hopefully next year there will be a much better plan. We're working, as soon as we elect the new sweepstakes committee, that's going to be one of the first things we work on, is establishing a good signage plan so I don't get angry emails every weekend.
One thing, obviously tough part of being a chair, we talked about weather a little bit, is making that rain call. You had to do that last year. Possibility of doing it Friday, what's that like, Anthony, that process in the day of? How does that go? What are the moving pieces? I guess maybe a little advice for Josh before what he may be facing the next couple days.
Well, one of the biggest things about being chairman was, you're not dealing with your own alumni. So if you're like an AAPI or a SIGEP or anybody else, you're dealing with your alumni. And like, so when you make a decision, it affects them. When you make a decision as a chairman, it affects the 11 organizations, their alumni, CMU-TV, WRCT, everybody else gets affected. So your call makes a lot bigger of a splash in the pool than it would. It's hard making that decision. It's hard telling people, like, no, we're not going to race when they've spent a year and people have taken off work and come in here and just to watch their team race. And that's all you want. You want a good race. That's what you're looking for. Making the decision last year was, it was sad. It was to the point, it's stressful, but it's something you have to do. The weather, it's not going to impact the pushers. It's not going to impact the chairman. It will impact the chairman. But the biggest people you have to worry about are the drivers. And at the end of the day, they're the most important people on the course because they put all the trust in everyone else's hands. So you're looking at what's best for all, your friends that, need to drive with, 2 feet of vertical clearance and 45-degree angles on each side. Mm-hmm. It's a tough decision to make, but in the end, you have to use whatever resource you have to make that decision. It's a hard one. Josh, good luck.
The weather forecast has changed every day, so I'm just hoping it shifts in the right direction tomorrow. And so, we'll see. The last thing I want to do is have everybody out there and get from, you know, when we get out there and start chores at 4 a.m. or earlier that to set up some of the things, go all the way through and set everything up, only to have the rain come down and we have to tear. It's, you know, it's going to be a... I'm stressing about it. I've had nightmares. It's been weighing heavy on my mind ever since it showed up on the extended forecast.
Yeah, sorry to bring it up, but thanks for
okay
radio.
It has to be talked about.
Some of you guys who have experience being team chairmen or working on teams, imagining a scenario where the most likely worst case scenario we'd see is no Friday and there's just a Saturday. How do you prepare differently? Say you get that call and you just have that one day to really make your roles count, and obviously the heats may be a bit different because you're not going to be stacked against just top 10 teams or top 6, but it's the entire field. How does that change your strategy on Friday night? Do you prepare differently, or what happens if that call's made and you're on a team?
Honestly, I don't think there's a huge difference. I mean, you go for broke for prelims and finals no matter what. You know, you don't take anything for granted. So, you know, we're going to prepare we did prepare just as hard for Friday, and you know, we had that kind of last year, we had that sense that Saturday might be canceled, but it's not that we did anything differently. It's just that, you know, we were prepared and ready just in case Saturday didn't happen. But you know, it's not like it's not like we did anything, any extra prep. You know, we did the same amount. And, you know, if Saturday had happened, we would have still had gone, we would still have gone out all out Friday, just the same. So.
Yeah, I definitely think this generation of people participating in Buggy have such a strong memory of only having one day anyway, because right. You're looking at a lot of juniors up in the leadership right now. And so they showed up 2 years ago, which rained out, and they were sophomores last year, which rained out, and now they only know one day of races. So I think definitely the teams this year know that nothing is guaranteed, and you got to go as hard as you can when you have the opportunity to.
In terms of the weather, that I know we talked about this a little more, but I want to go into it. Earlier in the year, we lost a lot of days in terms of roles. What sort of stuff did teams do to supplement that, or how do you make use of that time? Obviously, you get to sleep in a little more, but what other value is there for teams, and what is the big loss of not having those roles besides just not having the physical count and the experience? But is there stuff that affects mechanics and some of the other parts of what you're doing with your buggy?
In particular, I think you notice it with the newest buggies. In a lot of cases, those will take 4 or 5 weekends before truck to really get all of the kinks worked out, to get everything tuned exactly how you want it. And so we've seen a couple of these new buggies. You know, the new fringe buggy, this might be the first time it sees the race day speed on race day, just because it took them so long to get it up to that. So I think that's the biggest impact that you get from those lost rolls.
Yeah. As a driver, when you come back after not having rolls for so long, I guess you come back saying, like, I need to do this. The first weekend, I remember it was so cold that inside my buggy started to ice the the hatch. So, I mean, I was kind of like wiping the hatch and driving at the same time, dedication to get as many rolls as you can, just to practice and have the pushers practice, because, you know, after, like, what, 4 months, you kind of lose that touch.
Yeah, and from the side of sweepstakes, we feel it's our responsibility to get everybody as many rolls as possible. So we made sure that once we finally got the weather where we could actually roll, and that we were keeping like strict time limits and time constraints from when how quickly they needed to get their buggies out, just so we could scram as many rolls as we can in a morning. And I think definitely the teams were very incentivized to be as efficient as possible because they needed those rolls too. I think that allowed us to really work together, sweepstakes and the teams, to really be super efficient in roles this semester. And I mean, we qualified ROTC in 2 weekends, which that's 15 roles in 2 weekends. And, you know, we had to, you know, add them to another team a couple times. But if that's what it takes to make sure that the drivers are safe on race day and that everybody's qualified and we feel comfortable with everybody rolling, you know, we're going to do that so there isn't an incident.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing, too, is making sure we can get all the teams out there, everybody that we can see, because ultimately, while it is about victory, there are a lot more teams competing for a lot more things than that. And it makes some great kind of moments, but I guess if everybody can share, because we're nearing, I think, the end of this, we're going to go to 8. Favorite race day memories, things you've seen, things that kind of, for you, define buggy, define the experience, and stuff them that I guess we can look for that parallels that going into the future.
It's just a little thing, but the thing that stands out for me for race day last year was I pushed the hill 2 for AE Pi A, and as I was jogging back up to catch the buggy, I had like 3 spectators just high-five me on my way up there. That just sticks in my mind. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. There's so much to race day last year, apart from raining out day 2.
I said favorite.
Favorite moment of race day last year. When you decide to do sweepstakes, you take a little bit of a sacrifice because, you know, you have one year left, and you say, I'm going to devote myself to an organization that's supposed to be biased. So it's hard leaving a team that you've been a part of for a couple of years and saying, I'm going to, you know, do this. And it's hard, and you don't really look at it unless you've been a part of sweepstakes. So I guess I can kind of speak for Josh and Jess Thurston. Chris Shellhammer, the past couple chairmen, just looking at it is like when you see your team do well and you look at it from like the outside standpoint, like my favorite moment was watching my team. I didn't treat them any differently, but it was, you know, watching a team that you're not a part of succeed or do well is heartwarming. You can't not let go of the team you are a part of, but you can also appreciate when they do well. That was one of my favorite moments. Another favorite moment was actually having race day, to be quite honest. So there's a bittersweet moment, which is like having Chrysler there. I mean, there's a lot of things that weren't optimal about having Chrysler there. A lot of things were different. Yes, Ben, thank you. but it was a learning experience. If we didn't try something new, we wouldn't have had the judges or the cars or a lot of other things. I wanted to try something different that we hadn't had in years. So I guess, I don't know. I don't know if anyone remembers the national anthem. Some people do, some people don't. Josh.
Nope. I have strong feelings about it.
I know. But, I mean, it was something we had to try, and I just remember sitting at the top of Hill 2 looking at one of the Spirit buggies, which was painted after the Red Tails theme, and having that girl sing an amazing national anthem with 3 Chrysler cars behind her. You know, that Dodge Viper was just gorgeous. That was a good moment for me because it was like a year in fruition. It was a year in fruition that came to a head. You know, so that was my favorite moment.
I just want to say I have nothing but gratitude for Chrysler. I don't know what Anthony was saying there. But, no, the biggest thing for me was just being in the follow truck and seeing a buggy that you built kind of from the ground up rolling for the first time in race day. There's literally no other feeling in the world than seeing that. And something that you saw, you know, a buggy that you saw when it was just carbon fiber cloth and epoxy in a can, and kind of just being in the follow truck and my heart was racing. And I've literally never felt anything like that. And I don't know. It's hard to describe. But it's not something you can really experience if you haven't experienced the sport. So,
I guess my favorite moment is, well, usually people are really amazed by the drivers. You know, they look into the little hatch and like, oh my God, someone's in there, and they'll wave at you, like stare at you, like high five, air high five. But on race day, there's so many more people. There are, like, people in the free roll area, people at the hay bales and the chute, the back rolls, and hill 1, hill 2. So they're just staring at you in awe, and I kind of feel cool.
That's cool.
I guess I'll play the game quickly. I think one of my dads, it's an interesting vantage point being a broadcaster of the race, which is cool because you get to see and experience and talk with a lot of the alums. But I remember it was calling Spirit. It was either last year or the year before, with all the shoot trouble, obviously, and just seeing their entire team kind of standing at the top of Hill 2, relying on me to notify them whether it makes it through the chute or not. And just like seeing and it did. I think this was their A team. I can't remember which there was, A or B. But just seeing the explosion of energy coming from that, and like I think that symbolizes a lot of kind of the value of buggy and the fun part of getting to broadcast is just seeing everyone here at CMU kind of come together and make this thing come to life, get so much put so much passion into it.
Well, Mine would have to be the same as Ben, seeing the buggy I built, but I'll take another one since he took that one, and that's fine. I have another great moment. We had our men's D team buggy. It was Bedlam, driven by Julia Shen, and we only had three women's teams, so she wasn't able to do women's D, and we wanted to get in an exhibition heat, but of course it didn't work out. So it was kind of like her only time to roll on race day, and she had been a great driver out every weekend, and we had a lot of trouble getting her buggy up to speed that year, and so I felt really bad for her that we didn't get enough time to put in the practice in, and I'm like, you know what, it's race day, we're gonna if you feel comfortable, we want to get you go as fast as you can, and she's like, do it, I want to go as fast as I can, and you know, I'm like, let's do it, and so we do the full prep and get her up and get her there, and it was Spirit A, I think Apex A, and Fringe D, I think that was the heat. So we were in lane three, and I was in the follow truck, and we go up the hill. Of course, Spirit A just takes off, and Apex A is a bit faster than my D team, and so it was. And so we were third going over the top of the hill, and then once she hit the free roll, it's like I had never seen her drive like this. It's like she got in the zone, and she made a beautiful pass on Apex A and was coming up on Spirit A, and once it crossed that hill three line, the window zero line, it was Spirit A. And then Bedlam, right nose to tail, coming up hill three, and I was just like, "This is for me to be able to enable my driver to have that experience." I was just, and how great she felt afterwards, it warmed my heart because she was somebody that I really cared about my drivers, and I wanted them to have the greatest experience they could, and I'm glad that she was able to get that.
Cool. So those are good memories. What are we looking forward to this Friday and Saturday? What storylines are you most excited about? What teams, what competitions, just the whole thing in general? But what things are we most excited about coming up this weekend?
Actually, I think the heat I'm most excited for is Fringe C versus SDCC. Mm-hmm. I think that might be the most evenly matched heat that we have in the men's. We specifically try not to evenly match the heats for safety purposes when we arrange them. But I think that one's going to be a real exciting one, and I'm glad I'm going to be in the follow truck for it.
Mm-hmm. I'm definitely excited to see what Segebe can do. I think most of the people around the table can agree with me on that. I think we're all after Barracuda on truck weekend, I think we all have a much closer eye on them than at least I thought I was going to this year. And I love Segebe. They've been great all year, but I think they're going to have a strong shot. It's going to be awesome.
I mean, I'm going to be a homer. I want to see how Segebe does too. But it's just like I've been kind of like a mentor to the mechanics coming up, and just excited to see what they can do this year.
I guess with me, I hope my team, the pushers, usually go above and beyond on race day, especially because it's like the only day that you can do this. And so I go a little bit faster then.
Plus, you are going to be on some fast wheels that we
I
haven't
know,
even seen
I'm really
before,
excited.
So I'm excited for that.
I'm excited for the heating technology that just came about with my
You guys have wrenches this year?
No.
Snap ring pullers, though, pretty much. Ooh.
I think it's always exciting just to go into a race looking at, like, what might happen. I remember talking to alumni about, I think we go over past rivalries every year. Mm. And what team is looking to, you know, who are they looking at every year on the hill? I think we always look about, you know, SDC and Fridge, man. We have the Independents, and then we have like the Greek organizations, like who's fighting who. But if you also look at Buggy as your time on the course pretty much, you know, negates like how much respect a lot of people have for you. You know, we have older organizations that have been on the course for a long time, have a lot of respect, have their name on that trophy, you know, a couple of times. And so we look at, you know, who's vying for just that number one spot, or who's vying just to knock off their rival. It'll be interesting to see. We'll see who comes out and if those rivalries actually do exist, or is it just in the minds of one organization or another. It will be interesting. I can't wait for race day. I'm crazy excited.
What do you guys think will be the biggest surprise people will be talking about come Saturday afternoon of this race day?
Bikers.
That it's Saturday and there are buggies rolling? That's a surprise. I think Spirit A. I think Spirit – I don't know if they're competing for the top three where they're at right now, but I think where they'll end up is going to be a surprise a lot of people.
think Signu could crack the second day, which would be a surprise for a lot of people.
There could be a lot of good stories this year. Like we said, like SIGAP was rolling really, really fast. Their pushers are very fast this year. So we'll see how they turn out against the other faster teams. Like we said, Spirit before has a very, very good chance of being a, I'm going to say a top three competitor, just based upon my experience with them. It'll be interesting, but my experience, don't wait till race day. I mean, we can look at, everyone can, vie for, getting ahead of myself. Anyway, it's going to be a very good year, but this is going to be a well worth time put aside to go and watch races live.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna change gears a little bit and just say I hope everyone gets through race day safely, especially with the kind of the short spring and lack of practice time. But there's been a lot of incidents, especially on truck weekend and that kind of thing. So I just hope that everyone gets through race day without spinning or crashing or anything like that. So
I'm excited for the new buggies that come out. I want to see how Rossi does, how the new SA buggy does. It'll just be really interesting.
Cool. All right. Let's do some predictions then. let's say top fives, men and women's, go around the table. See what we think we're going to see out here.
I'm going to have some people angry at me.
It's just, later tonight.
This will make even more exciting.
I'm going to start with ATO.
ATO, then FICAP.
KDR.
Too soon. we miss them.
Yeah. I think we're looking at...
I miss KDR. Oh,
God. Okay. Predictions. I'm going to go SDCA... Fringe A. I'm sorry.
You get your turn.
Then SIGAP A. SDC B. Pika A. That's my predictions. Top five.
I'll go with SDC, SIGAP, Pike, Fringe, and then SDC again.
I don't know. You know what? I'm gonna go with something that no one's gonna say before. I'm gonna go with. I don't know. I'm torn between SIGAP A and Spirit A for first and second, SDC A, Pika A, and then SDC B. Are we doing women's? Or are we just?
That was just men's. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. You want to draw? Oh, do women's side.
I mean, I think it's gonna be something like. SDCA, Fringe A, SDCB, Pike A, SDCC.
SDC, Fringe, SDC, SIGAP, SDC.
I'm going with SDC, SIGAP. I guess SDC. I don't know. I haven't seen many women's races. I think I just come to rolls either late or I'm half asleep by that time.
I guess I never got to men's, but... I'm not gonna buck the trend here. I got to go with SDCA. I don't know. Going to be a homer again and go with SIGAP and then Fringe and then Pika and SDCB.
I guess for me it's going to be A-Pi.
I don't think they have that many teams.
I guess everybody else gets disqualified.
I'm going to just redesign the kamikaze so that it looks like three different buggies.
That'd be impressive.
But I do agree with the SEC and SIGAP. I think it's going to be one of the two that will be first and second.
How about Booth?
That's a different discussion.
What is Booth?
I don't know.
For women, I think SIGAP women are going to surprise a lot of people.
Oh yeah,
I have a lot of faith in them, and I don't know if they have the kind of buggy to supplant SDC, but I think they're going to do well this year.
I think we have a full tri-delt team.
There is one. My little is one of
them. There's a couple.
I think SIGAP and SAE have full tri-delt teams.
Tri-delt is leading the league in doing buggy.
Yeah,
every team has a tri-delt buggy driver.
Ironic is that.
I think that's why Delta Force failed.
Because they're all on other teams.
But actually.
So they are really good at booth, so let's just not.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry, I'm biased.
As I said, what is booth?
It's like a buggy that doesn't go anywhere.
Exactly. Oh, boring.
So
I'm pretty
boring.
Sure that it's a 13-minute musical.
So it looks like, I know, I can't remember who I was talking to, someone on SIGEP's team, and they're saying every year, it sounds like he was looking through the old broadcast, they say every year the broadcasts are saying, is this SIGEP's year? Is this SIGEP's year? Is this SIGEP's year? Maybe then, from what we're hearing in here, this is SIGEP's year, at least into jump, really, and establish themselves as a contender. I think we got to look out for Spirit as well. I think it's going to be interesting to see with them. It just always seems so dangerous, and if everything goes right, they have a lot of talent there. SDC is just a machine. It's interesting in that Fringe getting pushed a little below these things. They got a lot of less experienced pushers this year, but that doesn't necessarily preclude them, and I think it's one of those things you aren't surprised if they're two, you're not surprised if they're five. This year, I think, does everybody generally agree, though, it's going to be a close
race?
Very close.
Yeah. Yeah. I think top five, you're looking at a spread of, you know, less than four yeah. seconds or less.
I think Vegas put it at four.
Vegas put it at four? Mm-hmm. What did Rivers put it at?
What did CompuBookie put it at?
Oh, you missed our CompuBookie. Yeah, thank you earlier. We're almost at that 8 o'clock.
I'm pretty sure SIGEP, I mean, not SIGEP, SDC just wins and everyone else just doesn't even show up.
So, if you guys want to see what actually happens, obviously we've been blabbing on about an hour about that. You guys can tune in. WRCT and CMU TV are going to be bringing you that coverage. When's race day starting up on Friday?
Friday, it's starting, weather permitting. We're going to have our first exhibition heat at 8, National Anthem 8:05, and first women's heat at 8:10.
Cool. Who's doing the exhibition?
Oh, it's Pika and, I think CIA?
I want to do exhibition.
Dude, I want to do an exhibition.
SIGEP has an exhibition, I think.
No, how about a sweepstakes exhibition?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm injured.
Because no one wants to see Mike Mack and Push more than me.
The first exhibition is Pike and Spirit, if you're Pike curious.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cool.
Okay, and then the men's are getting underway at what point?
9:40.
You are listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3. And then on Saturday, what are the times going with that?
Times, we're going to have three exhibition heats, 8, 8:15, 8:30, and then first women's heat at 8:45. This year there are four women's heats in the finals. We're going to have eight women's team in the finals instead of six. So then that will push men's heats back. Oh, what's the math on that?
In an hour?
Plus
3 o'clock?
Plus 15 minutes, hour and 15 minutes, so yeah. That'd be
10?
10.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, you can catch all that again streaming online with CMU TV. I believe it's CMUTV.org. Online with us, WRCT.org. Should be a really exciting year, as we've talked about. I want to thank all you guys for joining us here in the studio, getting everybody hyped up about this. Always check CMUBuggy.org. We're not really affiliated with them, but that's probably the primary source of buggy information. I don't know. Shoot me an email. I'll send your email to any of those guys. Thank you very much for tuning in to us here on behalf of everybody else. Thanks for listening on WRCT. We'll see you on race day.
You are listening to a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. Any opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants and do not reflect the views of WRCT Radio Incorporated. Questions and comments can be addressed to the Public Affairs Director at pa@wrct.org or by calling 412-621-0728.